Hey, Riverfront Ministries, this is Pastor Chelsea Spires, and welcome to the 505 podcast. Friends, we are taking another look back in time. Hopefully you have listened to our last episode with Javi Diaz, our board president. Javi and I took this look back at all that's happened in the life of Riverfront. And today I have the extreme honor of sitting down with Katie LeCocq, our program manager for the Wilmington Kitchen Collective. Hopefully you've heard about the Kitchen Collective. Hopefully this is not the first time you are hearing that combination of words. But if you haven't, hold on tight. You will learn a lot today. Katie LeCocq joined our team about a year ago, almost to the day, actually. February of last year, Katie joined our team as the program manager, and I am just so grateful to get to work with her day in and day out. And finally, Ken Grant, the man behind the cam, tracked us down, and here we are. So Katie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, and the honor is entirely mine. I'm so grateful to be here today. I'm so grateful to be a part of the Kitchen Collective and part of Riverfront Ministries. It's been, Valentine's Day I started.
Yeah, so Valentine's Day is the happy year. it's an easy work anniversary to remember. Yeah. Yeah, people will be like, wow, you're such a good boss. You remember when she started? I'm like, oh, it's the holiday.
It helps.
when I started at this job outside of D.C., before moving to Wilmington, the first day that I started was my boss's son was born. And so I always remember the day that I started at St. Matthew's by his birthday. Now I get to remember the day you started by Valentine's Day. Katie was familiar with the Kitchen Collective from just the Wilmington scene and knowing myself and Laura Semmelroth, who were kind of a part of things at the beginning. But Katie joined, like I said, in February of 2022. And so we had just opened. And so Katie is actually going to flip. We're going to flip these roles. Typically, I get to interview and just ask all the questions, but Katie's going to ask some questions about the beginning days. So Katie, what do you want to know?
Well, Chelsea, I am curious. I know the kitchen took a while to kind of get on its feet. Mm-hmm. And I would love to hear about how the vision at the beginning of the project transformed into how it looks now that it's open.
Yeah, that's a big question. Let's see. So I joined Riverfront in January of 2020. And at that point, Wilmington Alliance, one of our partners in this work, had approached Grace Church, which ended up being the first location of the kitchen. They approached Grace because some members of the Wilmington Alliance team had this vision for a shared commercial kitchen space in Wilmington. They had heard this need from culinary entrepreneurs about finding space that just did not exist. And originally they were gonna build out their own building and their own like new build. But then they started looking at churches and kitchens really that already existed and found that many of those were within churches. And so they reached out to Grace at 9th and Washington, and the Grace team really supported the idea. They had the space, but they didn't necessarily have the personnel to make the project happen. And Grace wasn't really at a spot where they were ready to take on something new, which is where Riverfront came to the story. As you know, Riverfront doesn't own any physical property ourselves, but we see part of our mission as investing in spaces that already exist and helping churches use those spaces in new ways. And so, and a lot of that has become more formalized since 2020, right? I think I don't know that anyone would have used those, that language of like building partner and operating partner and fiscal partner quite in the way that we use it now. But I'm just really amazed at how the people around that table were willing to dream about partnerships in a new way and in a way that was like pretty messy and undefined for a little while. I'll say, as somebody coming into that space, I just had so many questions of like, who is actually in charge? And who is paying for this bill? And who at the end of the day gets to make this decision? And I think sometimes when we think about new projects, we can get stuck in having to make those decisions early on. And I think one of the beautiful things about the Kitchen Collective is a lot of it has just happened organically over time as each of us have just kind of found our role and found our like place in the story. Yeah, now I'm just like really thinking about those early days and those meetings of mess, but it just continued to be a steady yes to this project that led us through the funding cycles, that led us through initial drawings with architects, that led us through building the physical space. I mean, right, I'm a pastor. I'm not trained in architectural design and grease traps and HVAC systems and all this stuff that now I know a lot about. but it was just, I feel like a series of steady, slow, I mean, I see them as slow yeses now. But frankly, like this project got up and off the ground pretty quickly in the scope of all the stuff.
It's pretty gorgeous how it, there just seems to be so much excitement around it and support, even though there's a lot of hard lifts.
Yeah. And I think, it's been fun to watch that excitement build. You know, we had, there were a lot of grants in that first year that we got no's on, because different partners didn't see quite how this vision was going to happen, you know, and we had some community partners that were like, why are you wasting your time with building that? You know, there's so many other things you could be building. I had so many like pastors be like, why is the church doing this thing? Like, that's not really what we're about. What are you doing over there? You know, we had so many questions early on around, was this vision like worth it?
Well, that kind of brings me to, I know that talking with a lot of the entrepreneurs that are seeking commissary kitchen space to be able to be in business, they've reached out to other churches individually and been turned away because they weren't members, or that they were a different religion or of no religion at all. You don't have a requirement of the entrepreneurs to be a part of the church. And I think that is just so impactful to the community. And can you talk a little bit about how that fits into the mission of Riverfront Ministries and how that it kind of has a different landscape than a lot of other organizations?
Yeah. It's funny because that question was never, I don't even know if that question was ever on the table for us of like, yeah, does the entrepreneur have to worship with us in order to be in the kitchen? Like, that was just so far away from, I mean, we knew that was a reality for other spaces, mm-hmm, but that was just so far away from who we are as an org that, that was never really a thing we spent more than, I don't know, 20 seconds on. You know, it was like, nope, they don't have to be members. And I think for me, the beauty, that's really where the beauty of Riverfront lies, right? That we are interested in building relationships with people, and that's enough, right? That it doesn't have to be tied to worship, that it doesn't have to be tied to a particular set of beliefs, that it doesn't have to be tied to like anything that we might get from someone down the road. But we're just really interested in building community and as community, like showing up for one another in a variety of ways. And for us, this kitchen space was a way to show up. It was a way to like meet this need in the community of commissary space. It was a way to use the resources that already exist within the faith community and to just reimagine those spaces and to open them up, right? That they didn't need to be tied to a particular person or a particular set of beliefs. And I mean, personally, for me, that is what the gospel is about. For me, when I like look at Jesus and the ways that he was constantly inviting new people to the table, and he was constantly telling religious leaders that their box was too small, I'm just challenged to get outside of my own box, and to get outside of those spaces where I can shrink the vision, because I can see the downsides. I can see the risk. I can see the messiness of it. And I think it would be easy. It would be easier some days to just say no. But just really grateful for this community that continues to say yes and continues to kind of reach outside that box.
I love the bravery that shows in the belief of what can be created out of this. It has a lot of strength to it. And I'd love to hear about sort of the variety of people that are served by this project.
Yeah, before we go into the other people, your naming of bravery. I have really been inspired by the bravery of our entrepreneurs, and especially the entrepreneurs who were willing to open with us a year ago, right? We were pretty sure that this was a good idea. We had done all of the prep work that we could think to do. But at the end of the day, we are building something new. And there's a lot that we don't know. And goodness, there's a lot you and I have learned in this last year.
Oh, yes.
And so I'm just like so grateful for our entrepreneurs. Not only their bravery within their own businesses, but their bravery in saying yes to the Kitchen Collective. And their bravery and their just dedication to this community.
Yeah, a lot of them had to wait some time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Construction was pushed back.
Yeah, we had construction delays. We had equipment delays. I mean, originally we thought we would open more like July or August of 21, and it ended up being January, February of 22. And just the dedication of folks sticking with us. And that, right, the food entrepreneurs who are working with us are really different in their businesses, in the types of food they offer, right? I think often when folks think about people who need a commissary, they think about caterers, but we have caterers, we have bakers, we have food trucks. We have apiaries, which every time I say the word apiary, I'm reminded it's not a word I knew a year ago.
So, learning.
fun fact, podcast community, an apiary, if you did not already know, is a place where honey is produced and packaged and It's the things that happen with bees. And so we have two apiaries that are in our community. We have a company that does spice blends, another that does pickles, another that does barbecue sauce. Help me out. What else am I missing?
Did you mention the spice blends?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I think you got the ones that we have right now.
So. Yeah, the ones we have now, right? But we continue to just be amazed at the variety of businesses that need a commissary.
Yeah. I'm privy to the wait list. I know our audience is not, and it's still even more variety within the wait list.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunately there's only so much space at every location, but eventually we're gonna get them all a kitchen.
We're gonna get
whether it's ours or somebody else.
We're gonna get everybody a kitchen. That's the goal. Kitty, I wonder if you might take us back to your process of saying yes to the Kitchen Collective. What drew you to apply for the program manager job? What were some of your perceptions before you joined the team? Talk to us about those early days.
Well, I had the great, great pleasure of being just a couple offices down from Chelsea at Grace. I was working for another organization that calls Grace home. And we struck up a friendship, and I'd just been hearing like little bits and pieces about the kitchen here and there as things went along. And I was kind of at a place where I wanted to explore something new and learn some new things, still using skills that I've developed. And this position opened up, and I was like, well, and I get Chelsea is my boss, so you know, how awesome is that? So I applied. And I was terribly nervous at the interview, but I ended up getting picked, and I'm very, very grateful for that. And wow, yes, a lot of learning about kitchens. Like I like to eat, and I cook now and again, but I have learned so much more about food business and legislation and permitting and health department rules and also just about the landscape of the entrepreneurial what's the right word, the entrepreneurial
landscape
in Wilmington. I mean, I had been working in education for the last 5 years, so it's a total shift, but it's still connecting people. And that's the beauty of what happens here. And I have to say that I was a little nervous about how the entrepreneurs might feel competition with one another. And this space fosters a true collaboration. I mean, we've seen entrepreneurs so excited about each other's products and wanting to promote each other, and one entrepreneur does entrees and another does desserts, and they find ways to collaborate on that to amplify each other's businesses. It's truly exciting. There's not a single one of them that isn't like excited to talk about what they are doing and how they can help another entrepreneur build their own path to their to success in their business. I'm sorry, I think I don't know. Did I answer your question?
You did. You answered my question in about five more. right. Like that beauty of collaboration. We really weren't sure about in the beginning, like how that was going to work. Mm-hmm. You know, we knew that. We hoped that they would be friends. We hoped that they would cheerlead one another, but we weren't sure how that would work. And I have just been really struck over the last year how those community events that we've hosted and the workshops that we've hosted, these moments to just come together in sometimes the simplest of ways, right? Like our holiday potluck was like one of the most fun moments of the year, and included this gingerbread competition that was Katie's idea. That I was, I must say, at the beginning, I was like, "You're gonna do what? Like, do we really like need that many gingerbread houses?" And we kind of talked it down from like everybody making a house to like teams making houses, and it just turned into this really fun component of the night. And we could easily be a kitchen where folks rent space. They come in, they make their product, and they leave, and that's it. But that has never been the vision. That there's always been more to the vision. And really grateful for the ways that so many of our entrepreneurs have embraced that.
Word.
What has been, as you think about this last year, what is one of your favorite community moments of the kitchen?
Oh my gosh. There are so many. Well, I do want to say first, I am so amazed and humbled by the mentors that have stepped forward to help our entrepreneurs as well. I mean, these people are just so open and willing to give so much time and so their knowledge and experience, just sharing it all. It's so gorgeous. I'm just so grateful for each and every one of them. And I think that the way new partnerships just keep tumbling in. I think it's just a testament to the strength of what the vision of this project is, and the need of it in Delaware. I mean, I also, it's so tragic to talk with entrepreneurs that are just stuck because they don't have the kitchen. They can't start their business yet, and they're just so terribly frustrated. Just being there in a holding pattern. And that's kind of the opposite of your question. So let me get back to your question. I think just those moments where I watched entrepreneurs connecting with each other and building partnerships with that. I think that is one of the most, that's the whole point. To work together and find ways to elevate each other. That's just gold to me, you know? That's the whole point of what, that's the reason that I'm here, is to help foster that kind of environment and build futures together.
Yeah, it makes me smile. Even like the smallest moments of opening my Instagram and seeing that one of our folks has shared the post of another's, of another. Right. And like, or just written like a quick comment of like, congrats, you're doing the thing. Or like, it's just like these small touch points. And yet it makes such a difference. And again, just watching them grow and learn and challenge one another. Right. I think sometimes it's an idea from someone else in the collective of a way to expand their business. And they're like, oh, I hadn't thought that I could do that too. You know, I had been dreaming here, but these invitations to just keep dreaming and keep building together. Which I think, right, to point back to what you said of that is the, that so much of the beginnings of the collective was this team of people sitting around this table dreaming. And others dreaming a little further and others dreaming in this other way. And we had a lot of decisions to make in those early days of where were we going to really focus? What was going to be core of what we did at the collective and what was going to be kind of extra? You know, what if it happens, it's great. And if it doesn't, we're okay. And in this realm of so many possibilities, just keeping our pulse on that of like, what is ours? What for now, what is ours maybe in a year? And what do we invite somebody else to do? You know, like we don't have to do that piece. We don't have to own every piece of this puzzle. And actually, I think we're stronger when we don't.
Yeah. I mean, we're not teaching people how to build business plans. We're connecting them to people that whose business is to help people build business plans. You know.
Like, yeah.
We don't need to reinvent anything. We need to connect.
Yeah. Can you name? Can you give a couple of shout outs to? Who, when somebody needs a business plan, who are some of the folks you send them to?
I send them to Jake Blackston at the Small Business Development Center. And we also have a new partner with Launcher Delaware, who do, they do a 12-week course on helping entrepreneurs build their business plan. And actually, our partnership with them, they've been finding that 40% of the businesses that apply to be part of the program are food businesses. But then the teacher isn't necessarily a food business professional. So they're really not getting, there's a lot of very, very intricate things that have to happen with a food business, with rightly so, because, you know, nobody wants to get sick.
Yeah.
So we are doing a food business exclusive launcher program with them twice a year. So that's another space where business plans can be developed and explored with that partner. And our partner at the Small Business Development Center also is doing several workshops throughout the year on multiple subjects.
Yeah, also got a, so we have the business development plan, the business plans and the business development side of things. Also have to give a shout out to Liz Getman and Rise Collective. We met Liz actually through her dad, who was on our planning team. He, at that point, was worshiping at First and Central Presbyterian Church, which became our second location. And Bill got excited about the kitchen and excited about the possibility of expansion. And one day we were just sitting around that dreaming table, and the piece about Liz and her company, Rise Collective, came up, and how they were helping folks in the social media and marketing world, and have just been amazed at the way that her business has grown in the last year, not just because of working with us, but so many clients who have said yes to the work of Rise Collective. And they've really helped our entrepreneurs with their websites and with their logos and social media platforms. And so some of those Instagram moments, I always just am grateful for Liz and the ways that she helped some folks get started there. Who are some other partners?
So we've also got, who eventually turned into our teacher for Launcher, is Adam Hebert of AWH Consulting. He found a postcard at the coffee shop of the kitchen when he just moved here. And he was like, let me see how I can help these people. And it's turned into a gorgeous partnership. And he does personal consulting with each of our entrepreneurs, as well as teaching that class. And then we also have our very wonderful mentor, Lou Weingrad, who does a whole series, a 6-week series on making your business profitable and really doing a deep dive into how to inventory, how to build a menu that's going to make you stand out from the crowd, but still be profitable. Just so blessed in the variety of partnership. Lisa Bixby came and did a workshop from Bixby's Catering. Gosh,
we just Lisa, we connected at Rotary Club. The Rotary Club in North Wilmington invited us to come speak, and Javi Diaz, our board pres, and I went and presented. And I did not know that I was presenting to a catering expert until we got to the end of it. And Lisa had all these very specific questions about kitchens. And I'm like, you know more than I thought you knew when I walked in this room. And so just Continually surprised and grateful at the ways that partners in this work have stepped up and said yes. And yeah, just really struck at how we could not be doing this work alone, right? But it really, there's so many people who have collaborated with us and who have joined the conversation, some who have said, look, I have this one thing that I'll come teach, or this one donation that I'm going to make. And then others that are giving all the time, right? That are those long-term mentors or are reoccurring donors, right? We have some reoccurring donors who give $20 a month, and they've been given $20 a month for the last like year and a half. Really since we said like the kitchen is just about built, we're gonna open this up. And those donations really add up, and those donations really make our work possible. And so just grateful for the ways that the community is here in Wilmington, but also is all over the place, trying to think where our furthest donor lives. That's a good trivia question. I think our furthest reoccurring donor lives in northern Vermont, is where our furthest reoccurring is. Though maybe Michigan. I don't know what's further. I don't know what's further, northern Vermont or Michigan, but yeah, just grateful for ways that folks continue to say yes. Also thinking back on this past year, and really the past couple of years, we mentioned them early in the story, but this work would not be possible without Wilmington Alliance and the ways that they have said yes to this project. The ways that Laura Semmelroth and I would have multiple calls a day there sometimes during construction. I feel like I called Laura more than I called anyone else in my life. And Laura's family joked of like, wow, you're spending a lot of time with that pastor. It's because we were building. We were building something new. But also grateful for the ways that since we've opened, that Wilmington Alliance has just continued their financial support and their just support with other partners, right? They have shared our work widely, and grateful for that. Also just have to give a shout out to the Methodists and the Presbyterians around the table right now. These, especially at Grace and First and Central, these two congregations who have said yes, like before it was cool. You know, we now have a lot of places excited about the kitchen, but these two congregations said yes before it was the trendy thing to do. And so, yeah, it's just, it's pretty amazing in the ways that it's come together. And I know that we have a lot of things that we are looking forward to. And so I wonder, Katie, as you think about this next year, what are two things that you're really excited about?
I'm really excited about location number three.
Yeah, location number three.
Because that long, long list of people that need space, and I want to help them. I want to find them a home. And gosh, another thing that I'm excited about, I don't know. I'm just excited to explore new ways entrepreneurs can collaborate. I'm obsessed with collaborations. So I love collaborative work in all its forms, artistic forms, food forms, business forms. Connections are just what I live for.
Yeah, I'm excited. So Katie mentioned kitchen number three. Don't everybody freak out at once. It's very much a work in progress, but it is hopeful that in this next year we would open a third kitchen. And so there, can't give anything away yet, but there are lots of conversations, and should hopefully in the next 6 months be able to announce where that might be. I'm also really excited for our Taste and See events.
Oh, yeah.
So last summer and end of the fall, we had a couple of our food trucks and caterers start to do these like pop-up Thursday lunches. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to just host them in the Grace parking lot and to have some of the banks and local businesses come over for lunch. And we are going to continue that this year, and we are going to spice it up a little bit more, hoping to have some additional vendors there. So some of those spice blends and honeys and sauces, hoping to have it be a more regular event. So looking right now at what it would mean to happen each Thursday, looking to have live music at those events sometime. So for those members of Riverfront, you know that music and food are at the heart of so much of what we do. And so hoping to bring some more music to that space. We're dreaming about picnic tables. We're dreaming about lights. We're dreaming about just some fun Thursday afternoon vibes happen at 9th and Washington. So stay tuned for more of that. We also are hoping to host a WKC showcase kind of event where we are highlighting the entrepreneurs who have joined us in the last year. So you might remember last May we had our grand opening party. Looking to do another big event that would be a showcase of our new members and their food. Again, just more ways to gather.
So Chelsea, I know it's really exciting to see our entrepreneurs out and about at events and stuff, but there's a lot of ways that that people can support WKC and our entrepreneurs. Can you touch on a few of those points?
Yeah, whenever folks ask me how they can support the kitchen, my first thing is go buy food from our entrepreneurs. but the second is also to give to the Kitchen Collective, to give financially, right? There are a lot of costs to operate this shared commercial kitchen space. There's a lot of costs for our workshops and for the social media support, all the stuff that we've named on this podcast, and really, those reoccurring donations make a big difference. They help us budget in ways that I didn't quite understand the impact of until I was the one making the budget and helping us stick to the budget. Knowing when and how much those gifts are going to be is really helpful. But also those one-time gifts. You know, if you have appreciated this conversation and the work that Katie and I and so many others are doing, just give one time. You can give online both at WilmingtonKitchenCollective.com and RiverfrontMinistries.org. In either space, you can just designate it to go to the kitchen and we will make sure that that happens. I'm also want to just point back to Katie's mention of mentors. We are always looking for more mentors. Folks, especially who know the culinary world or the business world, but even if you are just somebody who likes to listen, if you are just somebody who likes to give encouragement, we would love to pair you with an entrepreneur that's starting their business and that could use some words of encouragement. It was really fun. These letters are on their way, but Red Clay Presbyterian Church reached out a few weeks ago and they said, we're looking for something that our small group might be able to do to support the kitchen. They're a church that has hired some of our trucks before and shown up in donations, but their small group was looking for something. And so their small group just wrote notes of encouragement to our entrepreneurs. I gave them a list of their names and they wrote us a batch of cards. And so those cards are going to be delivered, you know, and it's these small things that really just remind our entrepreneurs that they're not on this journey alone, but that there's a huge community surrounding them. Also friends, if you're not already, you should be following the Wilmington Kitchen Collective on Facebook and Instagram. The content that is being produced there, again, that's often published by Rise Collective, is just so good and so fun. Mm-hmm. Like, that account is just full of good food and facts about food. And...
Don't look at it if you're hungry, because you'll get angry.
Yeah, don't look at it if you're hungry. But it is just good stuff. So follow us on social media. Donate to the kitchen. Show up as a mentor. Show up on Thursdays for lunches. Like, really, I mean, you can help the kitchen by just eating. By just, like, that brings us so much joy. And what a cool way to be able to support an organization. But friends, I am just incredibly grateful. I'm grateful for Katie and the ways that she says yes to this project. Even on the messy, messy days, I'm grateful for each of you and the ways that you've been on this journey with us. Some of you have been saying yes to this project before I did. You know, some of you have been around this table in that dreaming, in those first dreams. And we really, really, really could not be doing this without you. So thanks for being part of the collective. Thanks for being part of Riverfront Ministries. We hope to see you soon, especially hope to see you soon eating good food around a table. Friends, take care of yourselves, and we'll talk to you soon.